sorry to have to tell you that our friend Mr. Field is unable to be with us this weekend, but Mr. Pickett has agreed to come and take his place this evening. Let us commence with hymn 920. When to worship saints assemble, let the song to Jesus flow. He forsook his ancient glory, groaned and bled for worms below, ransomed mortals, joined to swell the sacred song. Hymn 920.
Thank you. Let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2. The Gospel according to Matthew, reading chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy, almighty, merciful and gracious God, do help us to come before thee now, as we gather together here, and those who may be listening, to worship thee. And may we know what true worship is. Grant to us each the gift of the Holy Ghost, and may our hearts be touched and prepared and softened and melted this night. Lord, we come before thee, thou great and eternal God, and thou merciful and faithful great High Priest. Oh, we come unto the Father through the Son, by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, keep us from ourselves. Remove each vain, each worldly thought, and all that would distract and disturb, and cause our minds to wander. May we by faith be found at the feet of Jesus, to worship God, therefore, in his Son, the man who receiveth sinners and eateth with them. O Lord, grant to us tonight thy felt presence, do come by thy Spirit and come by thy word. May it be good for us to be here. May there be a purpose according to thy grace. O, leave us not to mere duty, formality, tradition, expectation, just to come and go. But, O Lord, that something might be done this night in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Something to glorify thy name, something to do poor sinners good. O Lord, how dependent we are upon thee. And Lord, we consider that parable of a sower, and our hearts like the ground. In and of itself it can do nothing, but oh, that our hearts might be prepared by the Holy Spirit to receive the engrafted word deep into our hearts, beyond the reach of Satan, beyond the reach of the cares and things of this world. O, implanted by thy Spirit, and faith given to receive and to understand. Lord, that thy word may abide, that it may remain, and to bring forth fruit in due season to thy honour and to thy glory. Lord, remember each one. Thou knowest the way that we take, the path appointed for us. Those who have come, yet dead in trespasses and in sins, without any real concern of their never dying souls, without any real concern of the state of their souls, yet far from God. O Lord, have mercy, and call them by thy grace. Bring them into that great need, that need of thy mercy, thy salvation. A precious Jesus. Lord, remember such who have been brought into that need. There may be one or another of whom it might be said, and he began to be in want, a beginning, a movement, life imparted, now a living soul, a needy soul, a troubled soul, a burdened soul, a guilty sinner, or one beginning to understand something of the plague of their own hearts and of the guilt of being a sinner before an holy God, understanding that the wages of sin is death. Oh, what is deserved, the punishment of our sins, the outpouring of the wrath of God. Canst thou face an holy God? O Lord, who remember those who cry for mercy, pleading for mercy. They have nothing to pay. Or they're being taught, they're being shown that they have nothing to pay and no righteousness of their own. And O Lord, they venture to the door of thy mercy. There they would knock. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, remember those taught their need of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to know him as our Lord and our Saviour. The chiefest among 10,000. The altogether lovely. The one thing needful. All those who long for that faith to believe in him. Those who long to know Christ formed in their hearts the hope of glory. Who long to know their sins forgiven, their iniquities pardoned, their transgressions covered over. Who long to know my Lord and my God. This is my beloved and this is my friend. O Lord, remember such. Those who long for that peace in believing. Do remember souls who have been blessed with that peace, that good hope through grace, who have been enabled to testify of what the Lord has done for our souls. And yet any who have backslidden, any who are being very tempted and tried in a low place, O Lord, those who now fear it was all a dream, O Lord, who be pleased to comfort such with thy love and grant those fresh love tokens, those blessings from on high, a sweet assurance. Oh, those who long for a further confirmation, Lord, remember such. And do remember those who need encouragement, who need reviving, restoring, assuring. And do remember such in providential need tonight. in all thy dealings with them, any who are struggling with certain issues, matters, problems, troubles, afflictions, difficulties, hard things. Lord, remember such. Sanctify these things unto them, and may they yet prove part of thee, all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We would remember those who would be here if they could. Lord, remember such. And bless his cause of truth. Lord, do remember them here and grant them to know that thy Spirit remaineth. Grant those evidences of thy Spirit's work in the hearts and lives of many. And help thy servants who minister here from time to time. And may they come in the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Oh, could it please thee yet to gather others in, such as shall be saved from this village and surrounding neighbourhoods. Oh, Lord, do manifest thy people and bring prodigals back. We would remember thy servant who had engaged to be here tonight and Lord's Day, but has been laid aside and now very weak. Lord, remember him. Go to him. Oh, lay thy healing and strengthening hand upon him and raise him up again. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all about him and his needs and his pathway and his disappointment in not being able to come at this time. Lord, further manifestation of that great need there is in Zion for others to be raised up, equipped by the Holy Ghost, and thrust forth into the gospel ministry. O Lord, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? We do hope and trust that there are those around being prepared. Like Moses of old, yet in the backsides of the deserts, and yet being prepared of God for that which is before them. And we do pray, Lord, that that time may come, may soon come, when they shall know that they also must go and show themselves unto Israel. There may be those struggling with this exercise, this burden, trying to remove it, but it won't go away, feeling so insufficient, inadequate. Who am I? Trying to, as it were, argue why they cannot go. But, O Lord, do deepen that exercise. And, Lord, in thy time, thrust them forth. For truly, Lord, Zion languishes. We feel such a description of Zion at this time. The low state of Zion. Oh, Lord, Zion languisheth. O have mercy. Return with mercies unto Zion. And build thou the walls of Jerusalem. We feel, as it were, the walls have been broken down. The foxes, the little foxes, have got in and are spoiling the vine. And there's much damage. Oh, Lord, thrust them out. And, O protect thy people, defend thy cause. Arise, arise, O God of might, and put thy threatening foes to flight. And may we live to see a better day in Zion, a better day for the gospel, a building up again. Lord, remember all for whom we would pray for.
those laid upon our hearts with various needs, those in affliction, sickness, poorly, laid aside, any in trouble and distress, those bowed down like that woman of old who could in no wise lift up herself, whom Satan have bound low these 18 years, and yet a child of God. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, do call such unto thyself, and lay thy hands upon them and say, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And immediately she rose up and glorified God. Lord, have mercy upon our guilty land and nation, as we have to witness the consequences of this nation departing from thee, forsaking thee, or disregarding thy word, desecrating thy day. The great cry is, we will not have really God to reign over us. And oh, the awful state that we are in now. Lord, have mercy. Oh, stem the great tide of sin and iniquity. Rule and overrule in all things. And raise up to high office those who truly love and fear thy name. Oh, those like Jehoshaphat, and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, may it be so now. Oh, may our eyes be upon thee, and may thy eye be upon us. Lord, look down from heaven. Behold, visit this vine. Come now, dear Lord, and send help. We would be thankful for every blessing, every privilege, all thy great goodness, kindness, thy compassions, they fail not. We have so much to be thankful for, too much we take for granted. Lord, on this cold, wintry evening, that those of us here have been enabled to come, for health and strength in measure, journeying mercies, preserving us. We have this place to meet together in, the various comforts our forefathers knew nothing of. And we would be thankful for those unable to be here. We have the means now for the service to be relayed, that they may also hear. So Lord, we do have much to be thankful for. And grant us each truly thankful hearts. And do hear our poor prayer. And forgive our every sin. And send answers of peace. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 913. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds, grace to heal thy foul backslidings, sinner flows from Jesus' wounds. Hymn 913.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the book of Job. Job chapter 23 and verse 3. The book of Job chapter 23 and verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. The book of Job, chapter 23, and the third verse. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. It's rather like those wise men. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? It was wonderful faith given to them, being taught of God, brought to that desire to come to worship God. For man is to worship only God, and this they desired to do, to worship God, but born King of the Jews. Now, why was it that they left their native land and took, no doubt, that long, arduous journey all the way toward Judea, because of revelation made known to them? We read something concerning that star in the east. It was made known to them, and it laid upon their hearts, and they came, all desiring to worship him, born King of the Jews. And they came with their gifts, the gold, the frankincense and myrrh. It was that revelation made known to them, surely of the word of God. There have been various things said concerning those wise men, but you see, it was of God. It must have been of God in putting it into their hearts to leave their native land, to take that journey. And there was only one person they desired to find. They weren't interested in Herod the king, a great king, and as much as kings may be great, they weren't interested in him at all. They came to worship him, born King of the Jews, the Messiah, the promised one, of whom the prophets had prophesied, him, the Lord Jesus. And they would not and could not be satisfied until they had found him. They came by faith, God-given faith. They believed in him. They believed that he was born, that he was somewhere to be found in the land of Judea. They had faith to believe, and that faith caused them to come. They walked by faith and not by sight. Now, whether at the outset they intended to go to Jerusalem, we must leave. But that was a great mistake that they made, and I personally believe that they thought that they should go to Jerusalem, as it was the royal city. They assumed that he would be found there. But they were wrong. They leant upon their own understanding. They thought, they assumed, It seemed the right thing to do. I personally believe they took their eyes off a star. That star had guided them thus far, and that star would have guided them all the way to Bethlehem. But I rather feel that perhaps coming into Judea, they felt there was no need any more to look at the star. We go straight to Jerusalem, he'll be there. And so coming to Jerusalem, they have that question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? A very costly mistake. It aroused the jealousy of Herod. He thought his throne, his power, was under threat. He didn't like the sound of another king being born in his land. He didn't like the thought of one who might usurp him. He had it straight in his heart that he would find that one and kill him. But God was over it all. Though the Lord permitted that mistake of man, and yet again it seems incredible, it's been mentioned many a time, that when consultation was made with the Pharisees and scribes, they produced the scriptures, the word of God, which can never err. And the scriptures taught, instructed, revealed, showed, made known that this King of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem. But it was only the wise men who went. Now, why was that? Have you considered that? Why was it, of all of those in Jerusalem troubled about this saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And from Scripture, it was known that he would be born in Bethlehem. Why was it that it was only the wise men who actually went? Not Herod, not any of the royal court, not one of the Pharisees, not one of the scribes, not one of the religious people, not one of them. Just these few wise men went. Why was that? Well, I believe no one else had faith to believe the word of God. I believe at that time Simeon and Anna, the prophetess, were already safely gathered to heaven. And perhaps there wasn't a godly soul left in Jerusalem. And so they had no faith to go. Although they could quote scripture, they didn't believe it. And again, it becomes more solemn. They had no need of Christ. I saw no need to go and worship him. But these wise men, beautiful description, wise men made wise unto salvation. They would have rejoiced at the word of God. They believed the word of God. They didn't need Herod to tell them to go down to Bethlehem. Or they would most willingly go if they might find him that is born King of the Jews. And so these few wise men take that relatively short journey across to Bethlehem. And when they saw the star again, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The Lord hadn't forsaken them. The Lord would guide them aright. The Lord would go before them. The Lord would point out the place. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wonderful word. Despite all our mistakes, all our failings, all our shortcomings, all our turning aside, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he led them forth by the right way to that place, to that house where the young child was to be found. Their faith staggered not when they come to, surely it must have been a very humble abode of the most basic necessities, and furniture and food and the like. And the door is opened, they enter in, and there they see poor parents, no doubt in poor man's clothing, and this little babe. Their faith staggered not. Remember, they came seeking him who was born King of the Jews. They didn't, through unbelief, look on and say, this cannot be him. This is all wrong. This is not Jerusalem. This is not a palace. There are no servants. There is nothing of any pomp or splendor. There's nothing of any riches, outward prosperity. No, their faith staggered not. They fell down and worshipped him. They believed by faith that that babe was the King of the Jews, was the Messiah. And they fall down and worship him. Oh, how they would have rejoiced. They found him. They come all of that way. And they weren't disappointed. If you will, the reward of faith. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust, have spoken to Ruth. The reward of faith. In finding Christ. I do believe that there are those of you here, perhaps some listening. Oh, where is he? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, it's the earnest of your heart, the longing of your soul. It's that burden that you have. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You know that you must find him. You long, you pray that you might find him. You cannot be satisfied until you find him. Well, surely it speaks of a seeking soul. Surely it speaks of a living soul. It speaks of a burdened soul. It speaks of a praying soul. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Really, here in our text, we have a poor sinner and the saviour of sinners. We have a sinful soul. And we have one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And yet this soul hasn't found him yet. Not yet. This soul is still a seeking soul. And it may be that one has been seeking a long time. And oh, the burden, yes, the grief, the bitter disappointments, and yet the cry is still there. It hasn't gone. You haven't given up. You haven't turned back. But oh, that I knew where I might find him. Why is it that you want to find him? What is it about him? Or as it was said, I believe, of the daughters of Jerusalem unto the bride in the Song of Solomon. What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? And then she gives that beautiful description of her beloved. As the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, but oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, what is it? Well, first of all,
You must find him because you know that you are a sinner, a guilty sinner. And the most solemn consequences of being a sinner, that is one who has sinned against God, broken the holy law of God, not obeyed the commandments of God. And you know that God is holy, and God is righteous, and God is just. And oh, God's hatred of sin. And the sinner must be punished. There's no such thing of getting away with it. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And that word stands today. The soul that sinneth against God shall surely die. Every sinner must be punished. The Lord will make his people know this and feel it in measure, according to the sovereignty of God, with such that conviction may be very deep, very powerful, very heavy, and it so weighs upon them day and night. We've heard and read of those who could barely sleep at night, lest they should awake in hell. Those who are so fearful of being cut down in their sins. Those who had that feeling of being shaken over hell. But then, with others, there is a conviction, there is a guilt. Oh, one knows something of a plague of their own hearts, and one may be so troubled that they do not feel that conviction as they feel they should. And yet, either way and all between, there will be confession of sin. The Holy Spirit will bring every child of God to confess their sins unto God. That is to be found in prayer, owning, confessing, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Lord, I am a sinner, a guilty sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. I deserve to be cut off and cast into hell. I deserve the punishment of my sins. I am guilty. I am defiled. I am polluted with sin. So every child of God will, through that conviction of sin, be brought to confess their sins unto God, against whom they have sinned. And the Holy Spirit will bring to that soul, concerning God, his holiness, his righteousness, his majesty, his purity, these attributes of God. But there's another attribute of God which the Holy Spirit will make known unto those poor sinners, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. That God is merciful. Now stand by this. Only a child of God really fully understands the mercy of God. Mercy is not for the deserving, not for those who are worthy. Indeed, it's for the undeserving, it's for the unworthy. It's for those who are guilty and have got nothing to pay. Bankrupt souls, emptied from vessel to vessel, and yet feeling that guilt, that shame, that sorrow, Oh, to obtain God's mercy. So that publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He was hoping God's mercy. Without any hope of God's mercy, one wouldn't pray for it. Or even a glimmer of hope. Then God be merciful to me, the sinner. What a wonderful thing it is to have a hope. Yes, a good hope, a sweet hope. But even a faint hope, a trembling hope, is far better than no hope. We read, don't we, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon those who hope in his mercy. Oh, does that describe your case tonight, your need tonight? You hope in the mercy of God. You know that if you do not obtain his mercy, there can be no salvation for you, no heaven for you. But God is merciful. And where does the Holy Spirit bring that poor, trembling, guilty, confessing soul to hope in God's mercy? To God's mercy seat. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat, his mercy seat. And as the Holy Spirit draws these sinners to the seat of God's mercy, it's where they shall come, it's where they shall be drawn, to the seat of God's mercy. And that eye of faith will behold not just the mercy seat, but that place of propitiation. It's a covering. It's like the mercy seat. But also, as we were singing, that precious blood. That precious blood sprinkled upon and about the mercy seat. That blood has been shed. If he will, there's been a victim, a sacrifice, a sufferer. I believe the Holy Spirit will make known to that soul whose blood it is. Even Jesus. There is something very, very precious. Tis Jesus' precious blood, because unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Now that his blood was shed proves that he became a real man. The mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God cannot die. God is eternal. That Jesus became a real man. And as a real man, from that tiny babe at Bethlehem through to Calvary, he lived his life here upon this earth. And as he lived his life, he did something which no other man could ever, ever do. He never sinned. He was sinless. There was no stain of sin upon him at all. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And as he lived his life, so he wrought out that robe of righteousness, again, of which we were singing. That was wrought out not for himself, because he is righteous. It was wrought out for his people. That being stripped of their own self-righteousness, they might be clothed upon with his righteousness. We call it imputed. That glorious robe is imputed to them. But that is not all what the Lord Jesus did. He came to save his people from their sins. He must lay down his life. He must suffer, bleed, and die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But the Lord Jesus, he bore the sins of his people. Those sins committed by every child of God were imputed to him. He took them unto himself, though he himself sinned not. He was made a curse for us. The dear Lord Jesus, in his great love, compassion, oh, what loving kindness, what tender mercies there to bear the sins of his people. And that is why the wrath of God was poured out upon him. It was God's hatred of sin, God punishing his own dear beloved Son, who stood there in the place of every child of God. Was ever love like this? No, never. There at Calvary, his body was broken, his blood was shed to make atonement for sin. There the Lord Jesus lay down his life that he might take it again. And on the third day he rose again from the dead, triumphing over hell, sin and death, because he knew no sin, no corruption. He rose again, over the triumphant Saviour. And then after a short while ascended back to heaven, where he is found now at the right hand of the Father, this same Jesus, still able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him, who all who believe in him, all who feel their need of him, all who flee to him, all who cry, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Well, it's that need of a Saviour. It's that need of the Lord Jesus to see in him the Saviour of sinners, the altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Well, our only hope and our only plea, to be clothed upon in his righteousness, to be washed from all of our sins in his sin-atoning, precious, meritorious blood. Well might John proclaim, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, tis he, tis he. Now, being taught our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, so poor sinners are found fleeing to him. Fleeing to him. They believe in him, just like those wise men. They believed in him, but oh, they long to find him. Oh, for light, precious faith. To seek a precious Jesus. To find a precious Jesus. Now, what do we mean? What does Scripture mean by finding him? You see, God is everywhere. He inhabiteth eternity. But he is found by faith. It's that revelation of him. It's Jesus making himself known to our souls as our Saviour and our Redeemer. Is that what you long for tonight, that personal
revelation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. O Jesus, reveal thyself to me. I'm sure most, if not all of you, have heard that true account of the minister visiting years ago, I believe in Scotland. There was that young girl. She desired to be taught to pray. And the minister said, the Lord help you to pray this prayer. Lord, show me myself. She tried to pray that prayer. She did pray that prayer because the Lord answered him. Not in a way, but perhaps she had expected. But the Lord showed her herself as a lost, ruined, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And the next time the minister visited, she was in deep distress. Oh, she was full of godly sorrow. Or she knew something of the plague of her own heart. She knew that she had sinned against God. She knew that she deserved the wrath of God. She was in a terrible state. The minister then said, the Lord help you now to pray this prayer. Lord, show me thyself. And she prayed that prayer. And after a time, the Lord was pleased to show her himself. Well, I wonder which prayer we're praying tonight. Perhaps both. The Lord will both show his people themselves as poor guilty sinners, but also bring them. Oh Lord, show me thyself. The Lord is pleased to make himself known unto his people. It's that revelation, it's beholding Christ by faith. But oh, that I knew where I might find him. Where I might find him as my Lord and my God. That was a cry of Thomas. Remember, Thomas was absent for whatever reason that time. The Lord Jesus made himself known unto his disciples. And Thomas, being left to himself, he would not believe. He would not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead unless he would behold him. The print of the nails and the wound in his side. I will not believe. I'm sure the next 8 days were very painful for Thomas. The other disciples were adamant, and I'm sure the joy of their hearts was manifest that Jesus had risen from the dead. They believed. But Thomas was full of doubts and fears. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And when the Lord Jesus came, he singled out Thomas, made himself known unto Thomas, lovingly reproved him. I just want to turn to that chapter in John 20. And Thomas could exclaim, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me in the flesh, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That is, not seen in the flesh, but seen by faith. As the Apostle John goes on to write, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I'd like to read that chapter primarily for the wise men. And it struck me. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? There was another time when Jesus was also described as the King of the Jews. And that was at his death at Calvary. that superscription written over him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. And it's rather notable, Pilate, for all his weaknesses, when the unbelieving Jews, the Pharisees, said to Pilate, "Say not that he is a king of the Jews, but he said that he was a king of the Jews. But I have written what I have written, that he is a king of the Jews." But then again, the wise men came, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Oh, that I knew where I might find him." But also, not so much Calvary, but by the tomb, there was another in great grief and sorrow and sadness. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Dear Mary, she came to that tomb and it was empty. And being left to herself, she thought somebody had taken him away. And supposing him to be the gardener, saith, "If thou hast borne him hence, tell me, and I will take him away." It was like grief upon grief. The grief that he had died, and now the grief that his body had been taken away. It was unbearable. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." And one word, just one word: "My sheep hear my voice." Mary. And instantaneously she knew that voice. It was the voice of her beloved Jesus. And there he stood, alive from the dead, before her, looking down in such love and kindness toward her. Oh, what a revelation that was to her soul. "Rabboni, Master." She could hardly believe, but she would believe. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Lord, bring me to that place. Of that sacred place, and come and make thyself known to me. Oh, show me thyself. Oh, grant such a revelation to my soul that I also may behold thee, my Lord and my God. But until then, oh, that I knew where I might find him." You see, these seeking souls become so burdened. They must find him. They may be tempted to give up, tempted to seek no more, very tempted perhaps by Satan that you're not a child of God, so you never will find him. You might as well give up now. There's no hope for you. You see how Satan puts all these thoughts into the hearts of the people of God to deter them, to turn them away. But they cannot. They cannot. Think of that woman with the issue of blood. And the Holy Spirit put it into her heart to believe. Again, a wonderful display of faith. "If I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. To himself. And as she ventured, that venture in faith, that great crowd around him, but she must press through that crowd. Now that is both faith, and it's the dear Lord drawing such unto himself. And she wouldn't be disappointed, that reward of faith. "Somebody have touched me, for I perceive that virtue have gone out of me." Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. It is a most wonderful thing when the Lord is found in his means of grace, in the place where the Lord's people gather together to worship him, just like those wise men.
They came to worship him. May it be tonight we have come to worship him. I trust it's been our cry so we would see Jesus. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, to look up like on that Mount of Transfiguration, to see no man save Jesus only. Oh, may Christ be preached, the glorious gospel proclaimed, those glad tidings of great joy for poor guilty sinners, of Christ and him crucified, a Saviour, a mighty Saviour. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. We read, don't we, it was noise abroad that Jesus was in the house. May I ask you, have you found him here? Do you long to find him here? Do you long to find his presence here? Do you long to find that blessing here? Or do you long to find that place where the Lord, perhaps through a lattice, makes himself known, his voice is heard? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. But again, we have his word, the scriptures which are able to make us wise unto salvation. He is to be found in his word, from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, to seek there a precious Jesus made known. As Job would also witness, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, for a moment he beheld his Redeemer, his Lord and his Saviour. But here, oh, that I knew where I might find him in his word. Lord, speak to me through thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Come and show me thyself in thy word and speak to me. And like Manoah and his wife who looked on while the angel did wondrously. Or like John and Peter and those other disciples after the resurrection, when they went to fishing, that night they caught nothing. A stranger on the shore says, if he caught any meat, no, cast in it on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now that great multitude of fishes, it was John. And that discernment given to him, he said to Peter, it is the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus, found again, revealing himself, making himself known. Oh, how Peter sought to get to him as quickly as he could. And the other disciples also. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That I might come even to his seat. What a great privilege is the throne of grace. Every time we venture to pray, we come before the Lord in prayer. Really, we find him. We may not feel that access. We may not feel his presence. But we find him. On what authority? Scripture. God's word. There will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims of glory. There, the Lord has promised to meet with his people. And how the apostle also writes, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Behold the throne of grace. The promise draws us near. There Jesus, with a smiling face, waits to answer prayer. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Sometimes, perhaps, we feel we only find him when the Lord answers us. But really, we find him when we call upon him, when we cry unto him, when we pray to him. We find him because the Lord hears the prayers of his people. Though answers may appear to be delayed or not coming, and yet the Lord has promised to hear and to answer prayer. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Well, that time came to Job when he found him. That time came to the wise men when they found him. That time came to Thomas when he found him. That time came to Mary when she found him. That time comes to every child of God, every seeking soul, every longing soul, when they find him. Yes, the time of love will come when ye shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me. Blessed time. Or when we can truly say, for me. Until then, we pray on. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Amen.
God willing, there'll be reading services next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pickett is again expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 144. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone, he whom I fix my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
and now. May the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.